Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside. Special episode number 21, Autumn Holiday Special 2010, Part 1. Hello, I'm Gary.
And I'm Ruth. Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show Autumn Special.
A very warm welcome to you all, especially now that summer is well and truly underway, and the beauty of autumn is just on the horizon. And for those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, wrap yourselves cozily in a nice blanket or cardi and enjoy the show, because for you, spring is just round the corner.
And don't forget, if you want to drop us an email, write to Gary and Ruth at CelticMythPodShow.com. So come on, spill the beans. What have we got in this show?
Well, our main feature is a beautiful story about the relationship of a dryad to a mortal man. But we've also got six fantastic pieces of music, a short piece about Scottish fairies, a short poem, and some super listener feedback.
Oh, that sounds great. Are you ready to crack on with some news and views then?
Oh, yes.
Recently, I wrote a blog about the new Irish film Ondine, starring Colin Farrell, which looks absolutely amazing. In fact, we got to see the film, didn't we?
We did.
And I was thinking, it's good to see more Celtic myth in movies, especially if they happen to star Colin Farrell.
You like Colin Farrell?
In that particular movie, yes. I don't think I'd be alone in that.
Mind you, wasn't it a superb film?
It was fabulous, actually.
It was kind of like the Celtic myth was almost implied and on a second level rather than actually directly in your face.
Yes.
It was superb. I loved it.
And there was a wonderful piece where the Selkie went into the water and you saw her playing. And I was reading recently about Selkies, and part of the legend is they go into water to meet their children. If they're bound on land by the love of a man, they often will go into the water to actually meet and play with their children who are still Selkie, which I thought was quite interesting.
Oh, that's cool. Mm. That's cool. There's also a new Cahoolin movie on the horizon called The Hound. They reckon it could be out by the end of this year. That's 2010. That looks like one not to be missed as well.
Certainly, that sounds like it's going to be really good, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, yeah. Not only that, but I found out yesterday that there's a movie that's on DVD, but you can only get it on the internet, called Clan. And that's about two Scottish clans who've been at war for over 300 years.
Wow.
I'll see if I can find out more details and get something on the web about it.
Is that kind of like Highlander, or has it got that magical quality that Highlander's got, do you think?
Well, it's kind of like a cross between Highlander and The Godfather.
I don't even want to think about that too much, actually.
It looks a little bit gruesome from the clip I've seen.
All right.
I'll see if I can find out some more info.
If any of you guys come across any new movies with a Celtic myth theme, please do let us know.
Yeah, we're always on the lookout for good things to watch. I think it's time for some music now.
Yeah.
So let's break into song with Claymore and Shades of the Green.
About you living in the shade. shall be. Hear song at Eisteddfod, see Snowdon from afar. Raise a glass to the Griffin, Podlock, Ickey Down. Stone fences through the meadows, flowing rivers pristine.
With Shades of the Green. You can find more details about Claymore in our show notes. In keeping with our summer theme, here's a little about belief in fairies in Scotland, which comes from a book by Walter Gregor, written in 1881, called The Folklore of the North East of Scotland.
Fairies by Walter Gregor.
The belief in fairies was all but universal. Some imagined them to be fallen angels, whose sin was not as great as theirs, who were cast into the bottomless pit. They were believed to dwell inside green sunny hillocks and knolls, beside a river, a stream or a lake, or by the sea braes, in gorgeous palaces furnished with everything that was bright and beautiful. They had wells too, called fairy wells. All that paid a visit to such wells left something in them, a pin, a button. Such wells seemed to have been different from those having a curative power. Fairies were under the rule of a queen. Commonly, they, the fair folk, were most covetous of newborn children and their mothers. Till the mothers were singed and churched and the children were baptised, the most strict watch and ward had to be kept over them to keep them from being stolen. Every 7 years they had to pay the tend or the tithe to hell, and to save them from paying this tribute with one of themselves, they were ever on the alert to get hold of human infants.
There come a wind out of the north, a sharp wind and a snell, and a dead sleep came o'er me, and frae my horse I fell. The queen, a fairy, she was there, and she took me to her cell. Oh, ne'er would I tire, Janet, in fairy land to dwell. But aye, at every 7 years, they pay the tind to hell. And though the queen maks much o' me, I fear 'twill be mysel.
Another. A strong, healthy boy in the parish of Tyree began to dwine, or dwindle away. The real baby had been stolen. A wise woman gave the means of bringing him back. His clothes were to be taken to a south-running well, washed, laid out to dry beside the well, and most carefully watched. This was done for some time, but no one came to take them away. The next thing to be done was to take the child himself and lay him between two furrows in a cornfield. This was carried out.
and the child throve daily afterwards. All this was annoying to the fair folk, and rather than submit to such annoyance, they restored the child and took back their own one.
One day, a fisherwoman with her baby was left abed alone, when in came a little man dressed in green. He proceeded at once to lay hold of the baby. The woman knew at once who the little man was and what he intended to do. She uttered the prayer, "God be atween you and me." Out rushed the fairy in a moment, and the woman and her baby were left without further molestation. Milk, particularly human milk, was very grateful to them. Therefore was it they were so anxious to carry off unsained and unchurched mothers. According to tradition, they did at times get hold of them. Here is one tradition. A mother was spirited away in a short time, notwithstanding all the kindness and attention lavished on her by the fair folk. Her strength was almost exhausted. She pleaded to be allowed to return to earth and pledge herself to give the best mare under milk that her husband had. Her request was granted, and the mare was led to the fairy hillock and left. The animal disappeared and after a time returned, but so lean and weak that she was hardly able to sustain her own weight.
Here is another. A man in the parish of New Dia was returning home at night. On reaching an old quarry, much overgrown with broom, he heard a great noise coming from among the broom. He listened, and his ear caught the words,
"Mackie red cheeky on red lippet, like the smith upon Kelly's wife."
He knew at once what was going on, and what was to be done. And he ran with all his speed to the smith's house and seined the mother and her baby, an act which the nurse had neglected to do. No sooner was the seining finished than a heavy thud, as if something had fallen, was heard outside the house opposite to the spot where stood the bed on which the mother and her baby lay. On examination, a piece of bog fir was found lying at the bottom of the wall. It was the image the fairies were to substitute for the smith's wife. Sometimes they contrive to induce, by their fair and winning ways, unwary men and women to go with them. When such entered their abode, every kindness was showered upon them, and the most savoury food and the most delicious wines were set before them in tempting array. If from what they saw they had become aware among whom they were, and had the courage to refuse what was spread before them, they soon found themselves back among men. If they yielded and tasted either the food or the drink, their doom was sealed for at least 7 years. All idea of the flight of time was lost by them under the beauty of fairyland and the joy of life in it. When the fairy thralls did at last return to earth, they found their places filled by others, and the memory of them well nigh dead.
It was only after many explanations the remembrance of them returned to friends and acquaintances, and they themselves came to know how long they dwelt in fairyland. Such as did return never again took kindly to the works and ways of their fellow men. They loved the sunny braes, the glens and woods that lay far from the abodes of men, the quiet spots of the daisy sward by the burny side, and the lonely nook of greenery by the margin of the loch, and the green slopes and hollows by the seashore. With dreamy, longing eyes, gazing out for something they could not reach, they pined away the rest of their days, beings apart. If a man or woman did any one of the fair folk a kindness, the labour was not in vain. Gratitude for kindness done by man was one great trait of their character. Some article whose use healed disease was given, or virtue to cure disease, or lessen pain was imparted, or success often attended the doer of the kind deed. They were very often in the habit of borrowing from man. What they borrowed was given back most punctually. Meal was an article they often borrowed, and they always asked for a fixed measure, a hathish cogful. If offered more, they would not take it. This borrowing was made usually in the gloaming and by the females. In a parish on the east coast of Buchan, one wild night in winter, in the twilight, a little woman dressed in green went into a farm kitchen and begged for a hathish of meal from the guidwife. The guidwife told the beggar that she was somewhat afraid to give away so much, as the stock of the meal was almost exhausted, and the grain had only just been taken to the mill, and it would be some time before the new stock of meal could be laid in. Besides, the weather was stormy, and everything betokened a long snowstorm. It was said to last 13 weeks. However, the meal was given. Not many days after, the little woman returned in the twilight and gave back the meal. At the same time, she asked how much meal was in the gurnal. On getting the answer that there was not much, she gave strict orders to gather into one corner what remained of it, add to it what she returned for the loan, and always keep it well packed together. At the same time, she told that the snowstorm would last 13 weeks. The storm came down, the roads were blocked, and no meal got from the mill. Yet the meal in the corner of the gurnal never grew less. Notwithstanding, the household had all through the 13 weeks the usual supply.
But if one put a slight upon them, or in any way incurred their displeasure, they were not slow in taking revenge. A cow or a horse, if the offender had one, was soon shot or dead, or things began to take a wrong turn with the unfortunate, or if a work was on hand, it did not go on with speed. It was misfortune on all sides. Even animals could call forth their anger, and when they did so, they had to pay the penalty. One evening, between the sun and the sky, a man was ploughing with his toulousan bleu, or two oxen plough, when a woman came to him and offered him bread and cheese and ale. The man took the gift. Whilst he was enjoying his repast, the good woman proceeded to give each of the oxen a piece of cake. One by one, the oxen took what was given, except the whiner, or bad-tempered one. After partaking of the woman's kindness, and she'd left, the ploughman began his work again. All went on as usual, until the plough reached the end of the furrow, and when the whiner that had refused to take the piece of cake from the hand of the stranger fell down and broke his neck as he was turning into the next furrow. For the stranger was a fairy. The fair folk were most skilled in music, and when mortals were stolen and taken to their abodes, or beguiled into them, one of their great enchantments and allurements to stay with them was their music. But that music was not confined to their own dwellings. Often and again has it been heard by human ears in the quiet of the gloaming, or at the still hour of midnight, in the clear moonlight, now on this green hillock, now below this bridge, and now in this calm nook.
The fairies took to fishing in little boats of their own. When fishing, they wore usual green, with little red caps for headdress. They prosecuted their labour in the fine summer mornings and evenings, and many a time have the fishermen seen them busy as they were going to sea and returning from it. If the sun shone during the time a shower of rain was falling, it was believed and said that the fairies were baking their bread. When the bread was baked in a family, the cakes must not be counted. Fairies always ate cakes that had been counted. They did not last the ordinary time.
Hmm.
That was superb information. That's what I think happens in our house. I reckon you count the cakes. There's never enough.
Absolutely.
I was a little confused by that term sained and churched that came up in that. And you were saying something to me about it earlier on. What was it you were saying?
I think, but don't quote me on this, but okay. I think what it is that at that time, if a woman had a baby for the first 6 weeks after giving birth to the child, she was seen as unclean.
Right.
So to be sained was to be blessed, and then she would need to attend church, I assume, at the end of the 6 weeks.
Right.
And then she would be considered protected or clean again.
It's interesting because we hear about baptism. We don't hear about it applying to the mother as well.
No, I believe in Jewish custom, something similar used to exist as well.
Oh, right.
So it's actually quite an old custom.
Oh, if anyone out there knows any more details, let us know and we'll see if we can get it up on the website.
Hmm.
Yeah, brilliant.
Thinking about her story, I think it's fascinating to watch how images of fairies have changed from the godlike Twahadei to the subterranean kings and queens, to the powerful fairies we've just been hearing about, right up to today's little winged creatures.
It is fascinating, isn't it?
It is.
They've evolved.
Pretty much, and Disney had quite a lot to do with our recent views of fairies.
Although I noticed with, I don't know, kind of after the 60s maybe, or maybe with Tolkien or something like that, I don't know, but the whole concept of the modern fairy seems to be changing.
It does. I mean, they're very much Tinkerbell. The Tinkerbell style fairy is aimed at children, isn't it?
Rather than
adults.
Definitely.
But if you come across tales with them in, they're certainly not winged Tinkerbell-like creatures.
No, they're often a bit taller than 6 inches as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Should we have some more music?
Yeah, sounds a good idea. What did you have in mind?
Carrying on the fae theme, how would you like to listen to our resident harpist, the wonderful Anne Roos, playing King of the Fairies? Thank you. was the wonderful Anne Roos with King of the Fairies from her album A Light in the Forest.
That was a really unique version. It was nice to hear her playing with the guitar as well.
It was. I like the counterpoint of the harp and the guitar. It's almost a reflection of the relationship between fae and mortal in musical terms. Beautiful.
But now it's time for some poetry. I thought some 18th century classical poetry would set the scene.
Okay.
So I chose Alexander Pope and his poem Summer from the Second Pastoral, which was written in 1709.
Summer. See what delights in sylvan scenes appear. Descending gods have found Elysium here. In woods, bright Venus with Adonis strayed, and chaste Diana haunts the forest shade. Come, lovely nymph, and bless the silent hours, when swains from shearing seek their nightly bowers, when weary reapers quit the sultry field, and crowned with corn, their thanks to Ceres yield. This harmless grove no lurking viper hides, but in my breast the serpent love abides. Here bees from blossoms sip the rosy dew, but your Alexis knows no sweet but you. Some god conduct you to these blissful seats, the mossy fountains and the green retreats. And where'er you walk, cool gales shall fan the glade. Trees where you sit shall crown into a shade. Where'er you tread, the blushing flowers shall rise, and all things flourish where you turn your eyes. Oh, how I long with you to pass my days. Invoke the muses and resound your praise. Your praise the birds shall chant in every grove, and winds shall waft it to the powers above. But would you sing and rival Orpheus's strain? The wandering forest soon should dance again. The moving mountains hear the powerful call, and headlong streams hang listening in their fall. But see, the shepherds shun the noonday heat. The lowing herds to murmuring brooks retreat. To closer shades the panting flocks remove. Ye gods, is there no relief for love? But soon the sun with milder rays descends to the cool ocean, where his journey ends. On me, love's fiercer flames forever prey. By night he scorches, as he burns by day.
That was really beautiful. That poem could easily become one of my favourites.
Mine too. On the subject of summer deities, here's a wonderful track called Herne by Jenna Green.
Ha ha ha! Hearn, 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 I seek you in the woodlands. Hearn, 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 your fire rages in my heart. Hearn, 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 mist and shadows call thy name. Hearn, 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 the wild hunter rides. Wood nymphs and body-colored dancing leaves, banshees, bandrees sing through the trees. The darkness calls unto my soul. The darkness calls unto my soul. Stag and stallion, guard and guide, riding through the autumn skies. I hear the bay of charging hounds. I hear the magic horn resound. Seeker of truth, nature's alchemist, crowned with the great stag horns. He who wears the torque of power, rider of the wind and storm. Hearn, 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 I realize now I am part of the chase. Hearn, 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 the hunter and the hunted. Hearn, 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 I am the wind untamed. Hearn, 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 I am the dreaming earth. Come to me in the golden fields. The sword of darkness now you wield. As the wheel begins another course, fill me with your primal force. Seeker of truth, nature's alchemist, crowned with the great stag. He who wears the torque of power, rider of the wind and storm. Hearn, 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 I seek you in the woodlands. Hearn, 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 your fire rages in my heart. Hearn, 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 mists and shadows call thy name. Hearn, 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 the wild hunter rides. The wild hunter rides.
Jenna Green from her album Crossroads. And of course, more details in the show notes.
Absolutely. It was a lovely and powerful song.
It certainly was. Do you think it's time for the story?
No, I think we're running out of time. We'd better leave the story until part two of this holiday special.
Okay then.
Just about got time for some listener feedback.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. We have a lovely audio message from Tim, also known as the Reverend Sylvanus Treewalker, the host of Pagan Perspectives on Blog Talk Radio.
Reverend Sylvanus Treewalker, and Pagan Perspectives have been long-time supporters of our show, and we absolutely love his podcast.
Yeah, he really does a good job.
So we're really touched and pleased by his message and proud to play it for you now.
Hello, Gary and Ruth. This is Tim, the host of Pagan Perspectives on Blog Talk Radio and your chap on Twitter. Just wanted to say that I just got finished listening to the Salen episode of the Celtic Myth Pod Show, and I just got to say it is awesome. It's one of the best ones I've heard in a long time, and I've listened to all of them at one point or another. You guys do a great job. Just want to say thank you for allowing me to have my promo on your show, and I just want to give you and Gary best wishes on his going into the hospital. I'm sending energy to help him recover and get back home soon. And, yeah, so thank you very much, and looking forward to the next episode. Bye-bye.
That was beautiful, Tim. Thank you ever so much. And thank you so much for your good wishes for my health. I'm getting stronger every day, and I do believe all of our listeners' prayers have made a huge difference to me. So I'd also like to say thank you, everyone.
Pagan Perspectives has been off the air for a while, but it's coming back to Blog Talk Radio on Sunday, the 22nd of August. So make sure you tune in for an entertaining and informative show. Thank you so much, Tim.
Yes.
And of course, details of his show will be in the...
Oh. Oh, yeah, the show notes. Right, ruddy idiot I am. Now, that really does wrap up our show. And so until next time, we'd like to wish you many blessings. And until the next show,
Slongavoil. Called The Folklore of Northeast.
What was it called? How do I spell that for the show notes?
Fairies. Oh, no, that's you.
Are you calling me a fairy?
No. But Walter McGregor might be. Walter McGregor, actually.
Four wonderful pieces of music. I've forgotten exactly how many pieces of music there are.
Right then.
But we'll go for six, shall we?
Okay. Oh, right, okay. by change, just read the script, okay.
Why change the habit of a lifetime?
Yes.
Make it up as you go along.
You've been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, available from CelticMythPodShow.com.
We hope you've enjoyed the show and will stay tuned for the next episode. You can send us an email or some voice feedback to Gary and Ruth at CelticMythPodShow.com. The show notes for this episode can also be found on the website. We'd like to say a special thank you to Coulan's Hounds, who provided us with the theme music for our show. Find them at www.sfhounds.com. We'd also like to say a big thank you to Anne Roos, Master Harper, and Keltoria, with a K, Celtic New Age Music, who have both given the show unrestricted access to their music. And thanks again go to Diane Arkenstone and Kim Robertson, whose music has been used as some of the transitions you've heard in this show. You'll find links to all of these wonderful artists in the show notes at shownotes.celticmythpodshow.com.